notes for Night of Submission make no sense to me.
Excellent. Well, I'm happy that we're back with Satan once again.
Yeah, we had to take a little break from cult busting, but...
we're back.
Yeah, I've got a hot new tip. There's a bar downtown where... no, wait. And then, how's it go? Anyway, there's a place in France. They all take off their pants. I think that's part of it.
Yes.
But anyway, there's a bar where you can take off your pants. And I think the devil might be involved in that somehow.
Yes, he might be on this, our the night of submission.
Yes. Very good. Oh, man, I forgot. It's real stupid. But Twitter X changed like the a lot of like their rules now. And then the... but they didn't change something in, like, the UI. So now if you get, like, banned, it's like this account violated the hour rules. So they just kind of left a word in there. I think it used to just say terms of service or whatever, but, you know, hour rules. It's not like Twitter's not at all like Outback Steakhouse.
Because they have no rules.
Yeah, and that's right. but this is our The Night of Submission, as you said, so...
Welcome to the Raincoat Report.
Submit to you and tell us about the Raincoat Report with this... Boss and Jeremy. Hello.
And yes, this week we are talking about The Night of Submission, an Avon production directed by Joe Davian.
It is an Avon? Okay.
Yes.
That makes perfect sense. It's all coming together now.
I noticed that there are multiple people in this film who only appeared in Joe Davian films.
Okay.
Including Red Baron, who plays the Red Baron.
Yeah, Snoopy's ancient foe.
But we do have a couple of names in here that I recognize. Annie Sprinkle plays one of the... lead-ish roles. I don't know. She's in it.
She's in there.
Vanessa Del Rio's in there.
She's in the mix, yes.
And CJ Lang's in here.
Yep. All those people, you can see them in other films that aren't by Joe Davian.
Yes.
But the Red Baron?
Joe Davian exclusive.
Is he Joe Davian? Is there any...
I mean, I'm led to believe he's not.
Okay.
But I don't know that.
Yeah. I can't tell.
I don't know from Joe Davian.
Yeah, I don't know him. I know Mighty Joe Young. That's one hell of a gorilla.
So yeah, there's a bit of a BDSM bend to this, although it's kind of freeform and all over the place, this film in general.
Yeah. It's like jazz.
Yes. This is the jazz of... weird, kinky cult films.
Yeah. It moves to its own rhythm.
It sure does.
It's a, it's quite a stew they're cooking downtown.
But, yeah, this is a voodoo film. And, we're gonna have the Red Baron teach us a little bit about voodoo as we watch this film.
I already know a little bit about voodoo. I saw The Rainbow and the Serpent.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Vampire in Brooklyn.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if there's any voodoo in that one.
But, I don't know.
But I saw it.
Yeah.
I saw The Believers. That movie sucks.
Okay.
You ever seen that one?
No.
It's got Michael Douglas in it, maybe.
Okay.
It's just kind of like a thriller about this like voodoo cult like operating in New York or maybe Santeria or something like that. It does have a very funny scene where his wife gets electrocuted to death plugging a toaster in while she's wet. She just shakes and rattles all over the place. And that's the main thing I remember from that film. That doesn't really have anything to do with voodoo, I suppose. So I guess I'm a little rusty. You know, I studied anthropology in college. I learned quite a bit about the religion and the rites of the voodoo. But like I said, I'm a little rusty, so I think this film will be like a good refresher.
Yeah, I think that my biggest exposure to voodoo is in the Child's Play franchise, because it was, of course, a voodoo spell that allowed Charles Lee Ray to inhabit the Chucky doll and has allowed him to continue to do weird possessions of things as the series has spiraled out of control.
Excellent. Oh, yeah. He does have a lot of voodoo in that one.
Yeah.
That's how he gets his initial powers.
Yes.
That's excellent. He's still animated by voodoo even to this day?
Yes. Unless you watch the remake of Child's Play.
No, then he's just like AI or something that goes kind of crazy, right?
I think so. I haven't seen it.
Oh, I've seen it.
That was my understanding.
No, well, I have seen it. And he learns to kill from watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
That's pretty cool.
That is probably the best part of that film. But yeah, there's a place in France where all the ladies dance. It's called the Snake Charmer song. That's what it's called.
Is it?
Yes, that's what I learned while you were talking.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
I really had to rack my brain for a bit. But that's where this movie takes place.
In France?
No, the place where all the ladies dance.
Oh, yes, yes.
There's one in France, but there's one like in most big cities, you know?
Yeah, in most good cities.
Most good cities, there's a place where the women will dance. It's a place, with a hole in the wall. And what you do with that hole is your own God-given business.
God gave us this hole to use one way or another.
Yeah.
And really, to allow me to not use this hole,
yeah. God gave,
is an affront to God.
God gave cocks and holes to you. That's a Kiss song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, check it out.
So, yeah.
It's on Love Gun.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that part's true.
Okay.
That's just what you would call a dick.
Right.
Yeah, you get it.
It might be on Love Gun.
Could be. Not going to check.
Nope. So,
just going to forge forward and learn about the Night of Submission.
Yes, yeah, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk a little bit more about the Night of Submission.
Your violation, my dear.
Are you ready for the Night of Submission?
No.
Oh, well, shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it difficult
for you.
Oh, no.
I refuse to submit. I will not be broken.
Yoshi, you don't have to claw me. Don't claw me.
It's pretty good. Yeah, me and your cat, our spirits can't be broken. Just fucking try.
Well, I'll break your spirits by telling you about the Night of Submission.
Do your worst. That was pretty bad. Hacking and slurping beer.
So we open... God damn it. So we open with credits laid over a fire. And then cut to a shot of a candle. We zoom out from the candle and see an open book page with the cast credits on it. We're told about the history of voodoo being communicated through horror stories, but then we're told that the history of voodoo goes back thousands of years with traditions as old as Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. We cut to some shots of the city, and then we cut to a couple fucking in front of a fire. This would be Annie Sprinkle, and somebody who I should have brought up, Carter Stevens, the director of such films as Roller Babies.
Here he is in all his glory.
Yeah. Carter is the magazine editor, and Annie is credited as the editor's mistress. We see the mistress riding the editor, him fucking her missionary.
Got a mistress on an editor's salary.
That's something to aspire to.
Yeah. Can't do it in this country anymore.
No.
Back then you could.
Now all the editors are AI.
Yeah. They don't have mistresses.
No. Science is their mistress.
Yes. Unless the AI, if they talk to each other, they could have one of those like AI girlfriends, like chatbots. Yeah. You could probably get them talking, see how that goes.
Sounds pretty cool.
I don't think it does.
Okay.
But we can dream.
The couple fucks as they lay sideways.
I prefer the future where there are roller babies.
That's fair.
Yeah.
We cut between these different position shots with some close-up penetration shots mixed in. The mistress seems to be getting off pretty good, just as the phone rings. She tells the editor not to stop, and we see her riding him a bit more before dismounting and sucking and stroking his cock as he finishes. The editor finally answers the phone, which won't stop blaring. He yells at a woman on the other end about finishing the job before hanging up.
He's like, hello? Yeah, what? And that's about the extent.
Yeah. It's about here that I've started to feel like this film is probably cropped to widescreen in the version that we got. Because it seems like the top and bottom of the frame might be a little cropped out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, this film does. It also has some atrocious ADR.
Yes, it does. The mistress asks the editor about what's going on, and he talks about discovering a voodoo cult. There's a guy known as the Red Baron who's a voodoo priest, and he owns a bar, and the customers there are his followers.
Yep.
He explains one night when dealing with a tough headline, he took his staff out to this bar. He mentioned the guy at the piano, who he would find out later, was the owner. He started hearing rumors there about the owner being the leader of a voodoo cult, and so he had to have his reporters look into it. The editor talks about the bar having an atmosphere of mystery. He comes back to the present, explaining that the phone call he just got was from, as he says, this stupid broad named Sandy. Who's covering the story.
That's how I wrote her. That's how I described her in my notes.
The editor explains that he told her to go back and get more pictures. So we cut to Susan, who is played by CJ Lang, Barbara Broadcast herself.
Sandy?
Sandy, yes.
Okay, sorry.
I wonder if I have her as Susan in the rest of my notes through the whole
thing. I'm here to steer you straight. Don't worry.
Yes, I apparently do. Cool.
Sandy got a lot in common.
I don't know your names.
Yeah.
But Sandy's complaining about being asked to take more pictures. She's apparently shooting photos from a window outside. And so we see a group of people in robes marching in line to a drum beat. The cult members all lay down a woman wrapped in a sheet onto their altar or platform there. We see the Red Baron leading a ceremony, calling out to the saints and angels to hear them. The Red Baron, after some chanting, asks the woman who's wrapped in the sheet there if she's ready for the initiation, and if she's going to go along with whatever they do to her. She agrees. They unwrap the woman as the Red Baron picks at a candle with melted wax on the side. A few cult members beat her with impact implements, like little floggers and stuff.
Yes, and so forth.
Outside, we see CJ Lang, Sandy, unable to believe the ceremony she's seeing.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have my difficulties believing she can see all this through the front window.
Yeah, it seems suspect.
I think she might actually be a dumb broad. I don't know.
Yeah. We see the woman laying on the table, has what I guess is some weird chastity device or something. Mm-hmm. Like just a, it's like a leather, there's
yeah.
like,
oh yeah, these. A wet,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, there's like a leather thing over her crotch and it has a small hole in it, but it's like chained to her.
It's got like studs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, do you remember Bowsette? The gender swapped Bowser?
Yes.
These are like the kind of panties that she would wear. You know?
So,
that was my first thought.
After some more beating, we see the woman being oiled up and sensually rubbed down by another woman there. They roll her over and oil her back a bit before a man reaches in and unfashions her little chastity bottoms. The people surrounding her spank her ass with various impact implements. We see her ass being rubbed a bit before a large dildo is shoved into her vagina. She gets this run in and out of her as others rub her ass, and she gets more clitoral stimulation as well. The woman's rolled back over and carried off. Susan outside says she's going to have to come back and get more pictures of this action. We cut to two guys laying down the initiated woman on a bed, and a third guy, the Red Baron himself, joins them. Elsewhere in the room, we see another woman's blowing a man. Another woman joins the group with our initiate, and we've gone full Tobolina already.
Yeah, I can't follow. I've already lost the plot.
Yeah. So there's some sucking and fucking around this room. The Red Baron's going down on the initiate. The pile of flesh becomes fairly entwined. We see a cum shot on the initiated woman's face. Lots of close-up penetration, some cock riding, more sucking. Some fingering with close-ups of a spread-open vagina. More cum shots around the room. They play the dance hit of the summer.
Yeah.
And we cut back to the editor, hammering away on the typewriter. He gets a call from Susan, who tells him what she saw. He gets a call from Sandy, who tells him what she saw.
They probably fucked it up and called her Susan in the rest of the film. I can't even blame you.
I might not have.
I'm not even going to put this one on you. I'm putting it on Carter Stevens.
But she tells Carter Stevens what she saw. Torturing, beating, fucking. But she also tells him that the whole roll of photos came out blank. So then he immediately fires her.
Well, I mean, yeah. What are you going to do with her? She probably... We got to go back and say she never even went inside the building to begin with. So what are the odds any of she even took the camera lens off or the the cap off the lens, you know?
It's a good point.
Yeah.
So the editor's mistress asks, did you say torturing, beating, and fucking? He tells her the whole ceremony is pretext for sexual activity. His mistress says, wow. He reads some stuff from a book about voodoo ceremonies and different sects.
Yawn.
The mistress says that she would love to see that, and the editor says not to get too excited because he's going to take his wife to the bar instead. The mistress asks why he would take his wife there, and he tells her if there's anyone he'd like to beat the shit out of, it'd be his wife.
He's a great guy.
So we cut to the bar where the editor is there. With a couple of guys, and who I thought at first was his wife, but I don't believe is his wife. I believe another woman's his wife, but he's at the bar.
Well, man, he's keeping multiple mistresses on his editor's salary.
Apparently.
And he's not getting much work done either, from what I can tell.
Well, no. All he does is yell at people until they do the work for him.
Yeah. But he hires, you know, he hires cheap and he gets, he gets what he pays for.
Yeah.
Photographers don't even know how to take a damn picture.
So the woman at the table with him's talking to him about Satanism, and the editor's telling her that he's looking for information specifically on voodoo. The woman goes on about how this author had a crazy trip and recorded his experiences. She mentions that when she's beaten, she can see Lucifer. And then we get cuts to the impact play that we saw earlier. The editor then gets the nearby waitress's attention, and this is Marie, played by Vanessa Del Rio. He mentions that she said that she might be able to get them access to a ceremony. Yeah. She
is reading from a book, but it does appear she's reading from just the first page.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
This film doesn't really strive for verisimilitude. Not exactly, you know?
Marie talks to him in hushed tones and a bit hesitantly, but we also see that the Red Baron is listening in as he's being very percussive with his hands. Marie gets weak and seems to be fainting. We then cut to a woman, who we will later find out is the editor's wife, tied to a cross in a leather collar and that leather chastity belt thing, like from earlier.
Mm-hmm.
A man in a sparkly silver banana hammock dances around her.
He's got, I guess, torches or something in his hands.
Yeah.
This seems to me like it might be cut from something else.
Perhaps. It wouldn't shock me.
It just doesn't really, like, you don't see anyone else from the film, like, in these scenes.
Yeah.
And they just kind of come and go, because I think it kind of repeats later on, or, like, another part of this similar.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just my two cents. It's my theory.
Well, we cut from here immediately to some close-up doggy-style anal sex.
Mm-hmm.
We get some shots of Red Baron's face and Marie's and cutaways. Then more close-up anal penetration. Then we cut to Marie sucking the Red Baron's cock. In narration, the editor says they arrived late, thanks to his wife. He mentions the place had turned into an orgy already. We see cutaways to the editor saying again and again, "My wife's a bitch I'd love to beat the shit out of." We see the editor and some cult members beating a woman who's tied down there. This, I believe, again, is the editor's wife. We cut away again and seeing more close-up cunnilingus and a blowjob. We get more shots of the editor's wife being beaten as she blows a guy. We get some sitting reverse cowgirl. And we hear the Red Baron droning on about pain for pleasure, pleasure for pain. We see the Red Baron 69ing a woman from on top, which is something you don't see a whole lot of.
No.
Really fucking her face. The editor helps fashion chains to a submissive woman's tall collar around her neck. More sucking and fucking around the room. The editor fucking a woman in standing doggy position. We get more close-up penetration shots that fill the screen with the back of the Red Baron's ball sack. Lots more close-up penetration shots, more just showing different sex acts around the room. We move on eventually to various cum shots around the room, including the editor himself, who then slaps a woman's tits with his cock for a bit. We then see the Red Baron come all over another woman's abdomen. She leans in and sucks his cock a bit more. We cut to the editor's wife being oiled and rubbed down by another woman, the submissive that the editor just came on. Some close-ups of the editor's wife's vagina and some more rubbing between the women as they kiss a bit. We cut to the editor's wife tied to the cross we saw her on earlier with some fire at the bottom of the screen.
She looks very bored every time you see her in this.
Our shot then fades out. And then we cut to the editor finishing his story on his typewriter, handing the finished pages to his topless mistress. She flips through the pages, and it's clear to her immediately, these pages are blank.
What?
The editor's confused, stating, "I just finished the story." And then we cut to fire with the text "end" over it, and that was the end of the night of submission.
Wow. you know? In our series of investigations on dangerous cults, we do our best to really dig in and see what kind of dangerous practices they're committing, what sort of nefarious schemes are up to.
Right.
But I think in this case, I think we got it wrong. these are just some perverts that like to gather at their local bar.
Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be anything too nefarious about this.
Yeah,
it all seems quite consensual, actually.
Yeah, and in fact, there's no indication of anything supernatural happening.
No.
I think the Red Baron's just a good guy who's into a thing, and everybody else is just like, all right, well, we'll come over and fuck. That's fine. You can talk about pain and pleasure and say you're summoning voodoo demons or whatever.
I guess if there is a supernatural element, it's that the pictures don't take and the story don't write.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
These guys are all...
They're also so bad at their jobs that who knows?
Yeah, who can really tell? He wasn't typing shit.
Like, he might have been sitting there typing and just no ink was in his typewriter.
Almost certainly.
So he just sat there for like 4 hours typing nothing happened.
Nothing, yeah. It's hard to say.
He had no idea because of all the nose candy he had.
Yeah, it's tough. He had too much nose candy. He's all strung out. He's mad at his wife.
It's a killer combination.
It is. And he must submit to his wife. That is the true night of submission.
It is.
I don't know if that's not anything.
I don't know. We're...
playing for time.
Yes.
So, nothing happened in this film.
So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to ramble a bit more about the Night of Submission.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's take a little break.
Voodoo initiates call those who have abandoned the tradition of Cabaret Tamasas, also known as Congos and Ibos Enchained. They are members of the so-called Red, or criminal sects, who shed human blood for sacrifice offerings. The Red sects, who lean toward the Pethro rite of voodoo, bear such diverse names as Hairless Pigs, Gray Pigs, Blood, Pain, and Excrement. Their emblem is the destroying sword of St. Michael, which corresponds in astrology to the sword of Orion in the Zodiac, or the bow of Sagittarius. They're grouped in the sects devoted to ritual destruction, and they make use of the sword and the bow in accomplishing their purposes. Tradition holds that they once dressed in white. Today, however, they prefer to wear blood red. Members of these sects have become ritual destroyers through a false concept of crucifixion.
Wow, I'd love to see that.
Bay leaves. Mint.
Yes.
Pepper and herb. Pepper something else.
I'm going to say yes. I don't know that to be true.
Okay.
We have a Raincoat Report level confidence in it.
All right. I know you can. You don't want to smoke too much oregano.
They talk about herbs and spices, and I think pepper's more of a spice than an herb.
I think you might.
Those are two different categories.
I don't know where any of this shit comes from. It's all magic to me. What does the pepper look like before they make it all ground up? It comes out of the ground? That ain't right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, is this the time? Is this the place to have this conversation?
Considering how much content was in that film, the answer is yes.
Excellent. All throughout history, mankind has sought new herbs and spices. 11 herbs and spices, specifically.
So black pepper is a flowering vine.
It's a vine?
Yeah.
That's cool.
But it has like...
It's got flowers.
I think the peppercorns are...
Oh, peppercorns, of course.
Are like...
You grind those up.
Yeah, it kind of flowers with the peppercorns, and you grind them up to get your pepper. I don't know if that's an herb or a spice, though.
I think it's a spice. I'm going to fall... On the category
it's
of
used
spices.
As a spice in seasoning.
Well, there you go.
It doesn't say herb anywhere on here.
Then it's probably not.
I'm going to not one. This scintillating
They have stopped listening. This is the worst podcasting in the history of there's probably worse, but it's got to be up there.
Nah, we're fine. We're still above the Rogan mark.
Spice versus herb. Where are you landing?
I'm landing spice this time.
I'm going to go herb.
Oh.
Not that I think pepper is an herb, just in general.
Oh. You prefer herbs to spices in general?
Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't have went so crazy about getting all those spices the way they did back then.
Fair enough.
If I had just a couple herbs in my garden, it's just my beer. Don't worry.
Okay.
I'm just rattling around over here. Don't interrupt
just
me.
Just clanging when I'm, around while we're recording.
Don't. Well, yeah. We're having... This is informal. This is like at my dinner with Andre. Just training, you know.
But you're getting at the fact that you don't understand why everybody was so into spice and Dune.
No, I understand why they got into that. I mean, like, just like spices, like pepper. Like Europeans, they didn't have it. So we had to go to get Marco Polo on that. And he brought us back ravioli. Or spaghetti, oh, yeah. Perhaps.
He was Chef Boyardee.
He went to the East and returned with ships laden with spices and herbs.
It was the first time that white people ate food that tasted good.
Yeah. Until then, we'd pretty much been... We would just kill a chicken and just eat it.
Yeah.
And the colonel wasn't born for another 1,100 years. The time when we truly perfected spicing had not yet occurred.
Right.
It was a time of war, a time of conquest.
Well, even the colonel.
And a time for...
The Raincoat Review.
Are we good at playing for time? I don't think so.
No, we definitely turned off our fans. We're going to stop listening. So, yeah, what do you think about the Night of Submission?
Oh, kind of sucks.
Yeah.
I don't really got a whole lot nice to say about it. For 1976, this is a pretty bare-bones effort. It's kind of what I would expect from Avon.
Yeah.
To be quite honest, I would say definitely instead of watching this one, or even listening to this episode, our viewers should go back and watch and or listen to Forgive Me, I Have Sinned. That is, I believe, the superior Avon film.
That's the one with the priest, right?
Yeah, the confessor. Okay. Yeah, he has his cult. Yeah, that's a good one. That one's fun.
What's his name?
George Payne.
George Payne, yes, yeah. yes. Good stuff.
Good stuff, great stuff. This is not that.
No.
This is Night of Submission, and I almost picked this one years ago for our first 5 weeks of Fright. And I'm kind of glad we did it now when we've sort of refined the show.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine having to have talked about this for an hour and a half. Trying to like work out the stuff and make like little jokes and all that kind of stuff about it. I'm glad we're deep into it now. We know what sucks and what don't. And this sucks. Joe Davian, you did a bad job. You deserve your own Night of Submission. I'm going to come to your house and paddle your ass with nunchucks.
Are you the confessor?
I am the... Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm the professor.
Oh, that's the opposite.
I'm going to beat his ass with a big, heavy mortar board. I'm going to take it off my head. I'm going to whack his ass, his bare ass cheeks with it until they're bright red. Old man cheeks. They're going to be all liver spotted and so forth. All saggy. I don't care. Because you did a bad job, and I'm going to beat your balls. Get it together. You wasted Vanessa Del Rio and Annie Sprinkle's time.
Well, he died in January 2020.
Good. COVID got him. Good. Joe Davian, rest in shit. 1 star. Oh, yeah. Bonk of the week. I haven't bonked anyone in a long time. It feels good.
He died in January 2020. I imagine it's probably not COVID.
Nope.
But.
Nope. It was out already. That's why it's called
COVID-19. It was out.
COVID-19.
It was out, but nobody had listened to it yet.
19. Yeah, no one knew. They probably didn't even mark it down. They're like, oh, he died of that, like that, where everyone had like vape lung or whatever. from all the illegal vapes. They're like, oh, he just died from that. He's an old man. He shouldn't be vaping. I don't know. There's probably good films by Joe Davian, but this definitely is not one of them.
No.
This is like a hard letdown after... this month so far has been pretty decent. I think you didn't like Lust of the Dead 2 quite as much as I did, but we had fun with hard gore. We had fun with Satan's lust. We were confused by the possession of Mrs. Hyde on Patreon now, $5 a month.
Yes.
To two bonus episodes at raincoatreport.com/Patreon.
And this Friday, we're talking about another film.
Talking about one of the hottest trends in pornography in the past decade. And combining that with, a tale of terror the likes you will not believe.
And I'm also going to draw comparisons between the film and an 80s PG horror film. So,
oh, are you?
Yes.
Excellent. I have my own take on that one. That is an episode not to be missed. Quite frankly, we should have done that one for free.
Jeremy's excited to just stop recording this episode and start recording that one.
I haven't felt this bad since Sex in the Comics.
Here's what I'll say. Because it is my turn.
Yeah, go on.
I'm
getting my hammer ready.
This film is largely inoffensive to me because it is less than an hour long.
Yeah.
And I found myself finding it humorous at multiple times.
There's stuff I laughed at, but I'm laughing at the film, not with it.
I mean, that's fair. Whether it's one or the other isn't really material to me. If I'm enjoying the film, I'm enjoying the film. But I can't say that it's particularly good. The sex scenes aren't particularly good. The narrative kind of starts, but doesn't really go anywhere. Like, some things happen, and some things happened in the end as kind of a twist. But really, at the end of the day, it was just, like, some things that happened.
They just filmed that stuff to give... It's as Carter Stevens' character. The whole thing is just pretext for them to have sex.
Yes.
And that's fine. But not for me.
I found it a bit amusing, but... I can't say it was good. I'm going to give it 2 stars.
That's being quite generous of you. And that's more perhaps in the spirit of the calendar than I'm giving it.
Fair enough. I mean, I'm not,
Fine. This is one of those films like Oriental Babysitter or something where just...
I think that the thing is Oriental Babysitter was probably like 15 or 20 minutes longer than this movie.
I don't quite remember how long it was, but I know that it has basically the same... it has pretty much the exact same problems.
Well, but there also wasn't a voodoo cult.
The voodoo cult hardly exists, let's be honest. There's some talk about angels and devils. They don't do anything cool.
The Red Baron is funny.
He's fine.
I'll
give you a spanking next.
There's a good beating with impact implements.
You're going to get a fucking good beating.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm not saying that I, like, particularly liked it. I'm giving it 2 stars.
I know. That's fine.
Anyway.
I'm filling time.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Raincoat Report.
Contractually required for this to be, like, an hour long.
Yeah, that's going to be a stretch. raincoatreport@gmail.com if you want to email us. We already told you about Patreon. We did. And... Jeremy, are you going to land it?
Don't forget your raincoat.
There we go.
Okay.
That's it. Entire story. Never thought I'd finish it. 200 pages of the best writing I've ever done.
I'm so proud of you.
What the? Just finished.